Zach Nile has seen surfing history made many times over and has captured it in images that have become part of the iconography of the sport down through the years. His craft requires a unique combination of skills. He'll be outlining them in an upcoming lecture. He's with us this morning to share some secrets. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
There's a sort of a collection of skills required to do what you do. What are they?
Definitely. I mean, being able to swim is a major one.
Yeah.
And I think just really working with light and exposure, and it's really about being comfortable in a heavy situation. What I'm doing is I'm shooting in the water, in these waves, in the most critical area to be able to bring these images back.
And vantage point is everything in this kind of photography, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, too far in or too far out and you're missing the photo. You need to be right in that sweet spot of the wave to be able to capture these images that you see in the magazines and all over.
Is a lot of trial and error go into finding that sweet spot?
Definitely. A lot of trial and error, and definitely being there mentally and physically. You know, you need to be in the moment and be aware of where you are and how the wave's breaking. It's really reading the wave and what's coming in and what's happening.
You're pretty much doing what the surfers are doing.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, we're watching it and trying to be right in that sweet spot, just as they are, and also being like a fly on the wall and being out of their way.
Well, yeah, that's my next question. How do you keep out of the way?
That's one of the major things. You know, you want to be there and record the moment, but you don't want to distract from their ride or take away from anything or their line that they're trying to draw.
Yeah.
So with that, you are trying to take the photo. They're not even looking at you, and they're trusting you that you're going to be out of the way.
And you're sort of trusting them to sort of go down the path that you expect them to. And that's kind of a lot of anticipation on your part.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because I want to know that I can trust them when they're coming down. So it's a lot of surfers that I work with on a regular basis that I know that they can hold the line that they're coming, because I'm predicting where they're going to go as they're predicting where I'm going to go. And we're trying not to be on a collision course there.
So with somebody with a less experienced surfer, that would actually introduce a kind of a dangerous element, wouldn't it?
Definitely. I mean, with a less experienced surfer, you wouldn't want to be shooting with a wide-angle lens within a foot of their board. With a professional surfer, I'm in some of the biggest waves, shooting with a wide-angle lens within a foot of their, like, as their board, as they're coming flying by me, trying to capture that one moment. So it's a lot of trust, too.
That's nuts. I mean, I'm a foot away, that's incredible.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely.
But that's where the shot is.
Yes, that's the most critical and most exciting image to create.
Now, to do this, obviously, you need special equipment. And today's cameras can fire off a lot of shots per second, can't they?
Definitely. My new camera by Canon, it's a 14 frames per second. It's just insane. The quality, the image sensor, and it even shoots 4K video. So technology has come a long way.
4K video being the highest res that we've seen to date, right?
Definitely.
Which is, how far beyond the resolution of film is that, or is it more or less equal?
I don't know the exact, like, terminology on that for the how far along it is, but it is quite incredible. I mean, some of the top-line TVs are 4K TVs out right now, and that's the best resolution we have.
So with that many shots per second, you would be shooting at a pretty fast, a very fast shutter speed, right? Freezing every droplet of water.
Definitely. I mean, that's the main thing. I mean, that you want to push your shutter speed is to be able to freeze that water. It needs to be over a certain amount, which is about 1/800th of a second, to be able to freeze water. Anything below, you're going to have a little bit of motion blur in your water. So it's something that is already very high, but also, like, it makes a difference.
Sometimes motion blur can be a creative element, but that's for a different kind of shot, isn't
Definitely,
it?
In a controlled environment, in a sense that you know that that's what your shot you're going for.
Yeah.
You can plan for it, you can stabilize, and also remember that we're always treading water in the water. So you're not putting a slow shutter and doing it on a tripod.
You're bouncing up and down.
Yes, and trying to hold that shot as still as possible to be able to freeze the action, at least, and have the wave blurred around it.
Which would mean almost like a disconnect between your arms and the rest of your body.
Definitely. You're almost like a little stabilizer with your arms, trying to stabilize that as you're moving up and down to tread water.
Have you ever used like a gyroscopic stabilizer?
No, I haven't used anything like that in the water. I mean, it's all just fins swimming and the camera in a housing, in a special water housing, and that's it.
And that works with a fast enough shutter speed.
That's what it does, yeah.
You know, the thing I've run into trying to teach photography is getting people to understand that balance between the shutter speed and the lens opening, right? Mm-hmm. That you're letting in a certain amount of light, and then right. there are different sort of relationships between them. You learned that from shooting film, right?
Right, correct. So when I first started, I was using little disposable cameras from the gas station, you know, film. Take them down to Long's and get it developed after I'd go shoot at Sandy's or someplace like that. And it really taught me a lot of just, you know, right from there, I went to a film SLR, the Canon 630. And so that really taught me a lot with the shutter speed, aperture. And you really just, it's a very harsh learning curve with film as opposed to digital. Digital, we're so lucky these days, and kids and people wanting to start out, you can see it right on the back of your camera.
Yeah.
Oh, that is way too overexposed. That's too dark. And with that, you're instantly learning and changing that. But I feel with film, it was a much harder learning curve in the beginning. But once you got it, it was really set.
It was an awful feeling to find out that you'd blown it 3 days after you
took
the picture. Oh, yeah.
That definitely happened the whole roll. You'd look and you'd be like, oh, that whole thing is too dark. So
yeah. But that kind of lesson really sinks in, doesn't it,
Zach? Definitely. Definitely makes you aware, you know, because it's so easy these days for someone to put it on, like, program or auto and just fire away and you're getting something great. But if you have, you know, when you're finessing it and you have it in manual and you can really see it is and create it straight from the camera, that's the most exciting part of it for me for photography is being able to create it straight from the camera and not in post-production.
You know, some of the new cameras, at least to my eyes, Zach, seem to be too automatic, that they make it sort of difficult to do the manual override, which is, to me, where the real photography is.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's, you know, that's technology. I mean, my dad always told me the best camera you can have is the camera you have with you. And a lot of times that could be your iPhone in your pocket or your smartphone, whatever you have on you, because it doesn't matter if you have a $7,000 top-of-the-line Canon camera at home. If you don't have it and the moment happens right there, it's what is best is what you have with you.
You're making me feel guilty. I hope I don't see anything on my drive home.
You got your phone, right? So you're good.
But you've gotten good results with phones?
Yeah, definitely. So I've done four campaigns with Apple, and I've had billboards around the world, which has been a really cool and exciting thing to be able to see shot on my iPhone. I did a commercial, also a video commercial shot with my iPhone as well. So it's really opened my eyes to be able to see what is possible. You know what I mean? You're not limited to the best technology of those things. It's like this little phone is able to produce these giant billboards and top-of-the-line quality and color. So it's quite incredible world we live in.
It's really going to change the photography in the future a lot, isn't it?
Definitely.
Zach? Great talking to you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Zach Noyle is a surf photographer who holds a staff position at Surfer Magazine. He'll be a guest speaker at The Study at the Modern Honolulu on August 9th. The event is free and is part of the hotel's ongoing Study Hall lecture series.